Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
It was fire that spoke to Moses, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites by night. We understand that John oftentimes, as we just read, referred to the Spirit as fire. We understand in Acts 2:1-4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We see oftentimes where the Spirit that we receive when we come to an altar of repentance and turn away from sin, that is a spirit of fire. We see oftentimes when the Spirit would call the ministry, the people that God used in the Bible, he would lead them certain ways, and he would ask them to go minister in certain places, and oftentimes it would be uncomfortable places. Like Jonah, he called Jonah and he said, "I need you to go to Nineveh. This is a sinful nation, a nation that I'm fishing to destroy if somebody doesn't go preach my word to them." And Jonah, being scared as many of us would, because Nineveh was no place to play with. They've killed many ministers. They was not acceptance of the gospel. He tried to run. He said, "I'm uncomfortable with that, so I'm going to go find a boat, and I'm going to go get on it, and I'm going to flee to Tarshish." And along the way, we know the story of Jonah. The storm comes, and they cast him into the water, and the great fish comes and swallows him up. And ultimately, God's plan is fulfilled, and he goes and he preaches to Nineveh the word of God, and ultimately, God repented on himself, and he did not destroy Nineveh. A lot of times, we can find that we try to control the things that God wants to do in our lives. The fire that God, the Spirit of God that's within us, we find ourselves like Jonah when we're called to a certain area that it feels uncomfortable. I understand that there's firemen in the house today, and if you're not firemen, there's some people that are fascinated with fire. The ways of the fire, the color, the ways you can enhance and control it, it fascinates you. When I was receiving this message, God revealing some things to me, and I started studying about how ways to control a fire and ways that a fire could be eliminated, could be put out, if you will. There's several ways that could happen, but for the sake of time, I'll only go over a few. You could remove the fuel of the fire. You could smother or remove the oxygen that would put the fire out, or you could create fire breaks, which means making boundaries where the fire cannot catch on to something else. I feel like a lot of times we find ourselves, unbeknownst to ourselves, we find ourselves in a season to where life gets to us, and whether we want to or not, we start removing oxygen from the fire that we once had. We start finding ourselves, the bills got to be paid, life gets busy, I got to work overtime this week, so I don't know when I'll be able to be in relationship with God. Well, I got this hobby and I got to go connect with this person. I got this thing to do and this thing's calling me over here. I don't know when I'm going to have time to fuel this thing that's within my spirit. So if I don't pay attention, I start smothering the fire. I start taking what God has instilled in me, the fire that burns so deeply within when I first came to an altar and asked God to fill me with His Spirit. I start finding it dwindling away because all the things that I put on top of it, whether it be hobbies or not, and I'm not up here preaching against hobbies. I have hobbies for myself. I have things that I like to do. I'm just saying we must be careful when we start to get involved in things and weigh the cost. I got to understand, is this thing that I'm fixing to attach myself to, is it going to enhance or is it going to smother this thing within me? Because I understand there's a call on my life that if I keep pushing this thing down, I won't reach this world. Among being able to control a fire, there's ways to enhance the fire without putting it out. You can add fuel to the fire, lighter fluid, gasoline, whatever it takes to make this fire bigger. Oxygen. A fire needs oxygen to stay alive. But you can study in California the firemen that fight these big wildfires. They say one of the most dangerous things for a fire is the wind. They can't control the wind. They don't know where it's going to blow the fire or where it's going to take it to. They can try to guess, but ultimately it's the scariest thing that comes to fighting fires, wildfires or fires in general. We read earlier in Acts 2. That's a two-part scripture that I never read before. See, they were all gathered. I understand Peter before this moment, before the day of Pentecost comes, before Jesus died on a cross. He walked with Jesus and he's seen God save the Jewish people, the Israelites, God's chosen people. He's seen him do a work. But after, somewhere along the way, God tells him to go to Cornelius' house, which is a Gentile. He had never seen it before. Peter, unsure of the ministry and what's going on, he has a self-conflicting moment and says, I don't think that this is for them. I've only seen it for this certain people. Ultimately, Peter goes and he witnesses to Cornelius and witnesses Cornelius, the Gentile, get the Spirit. This, I believe, is fuel on Peter's fire. Later on, we read this incident that we read earlier in Acts 2, which is known as the Day of Pentecost. He's preaching. They're in the upper room, filled 120 of them with one mind and one accord. And it says a wind, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting. And it appeared unto them fire. See, I have to ask myself, what's going on in the scripture? And I believe that Jesus' ministry started catching among the people. And there was a room filled with people that kept adding fuel to the fire. And when the wind hit the fire, the Spirit had the authority to take over. You know what happens at the end of the story? 3,000 plus people's added to the church. You can't tell me God can't do it. But I have to ask myself, I sit there and I ask myself, God, why am I not seeing 3,000 added? Why am I not seeing the things that I read about in the Bible? And then I got to look in the mirror and I got to ask myself, am I enhancing the fire or am I controlling the fire? I got to be honest with myself, and I've had to do some self-reflecting since God has dealt with me about this, because I understand. I've been at this church for 5 years now, and many things have happened. I understand what it's like to live before I came to church, what it's like to live in darkness, what it's like to not know purpose and walk through life unknowing what the next day holds, to lay in bed at night wondering why God put me here. I don't understand why I'm in the situations that I'm in. And then I find myself coming to an altar and I find a fire that God has given me, His Spirit, that burns so deep. And I understand what it does for somebody. But then I also understand on the side of that, when life starts hitting you, and then I start smothering the fire and I start questioning God, because I can't blame me. He's God and He should take care of the fire. No matter what I do, I should be able to feel the warmth of the Holy Ghost. And I got to be honest with myself, asking, am I doing the things that I need to do? Am I in relationship with God? Am I reading the Word and praying day in and day out? Am I fasting and sacrificing? Am I fueling what God has put in my spirit? Or am I smothering it? Am I going home and watching apostolic preaching, or am I going home and sitting there mindlessly scrolling on my phone? Am I going home and I'm entertaining the Spirit of God, or am I going home binge watching a Netflix show? Am I doing stuff to enhance the fire within my spirit? It matters more than you know. What you do outside of these four walls matter than more than what you do inside these four walls. That's what makes a person. I can come in here and I can make sure my tie looks right. I can make sure the suit looks the best. I can come in here and make you think that I am the apostolic of the apostolics. But when I leave these four doors, that's what God's looking at. He says, I don't really care what you do inside. I want this. This is where I fuel you, but I want you to fuel my spirit on the outside. I don't think this message has come at a better time in between two camps. I praise God for what I've heard about what happened at junior camp, and I'm expecting great things at senior camp. But because God is pouring into this church, into this people, and I want you to know the Bible tells us that His Spirit is not no respect of person nor age. Don't you wait until you're old enough to where you're a senior in this church, then you start enhancing the fire. We see in Matthew 18, 1 through 3, it talks about the children of the church. And it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That deals with the children. We see in James 5 and 14, deals with the elders of the church. It says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. From the youngest to the oldest, it matters that you keep enhancing the fire. If you could, Sam, could you come here real quick? Brother Rick, could you come here real quick? Hold this real quick. See, we don't understand. I understand what it means to be a youth in the church. I know that there's decisions to be made, especially in hyphen age. We're figuring out life. And we get so busy with these decisions that you let the main thing fall away, not purposely, not because you're a bad person, but because you're figuring some things out. And if you could, Brother Rick, light that if you will. Hold that red button down. Don't light it. And then sooner or later, you find yourself the fire's out. And you're like this fire right here. There's nothing but fumes left over. But then here comes an elder that the winds and the storms of life has came against him. And he never stopped going. He never stopped working for Christ and just put that over his fumes. And it connects. And what used to be just fumes, thank you, you can be seated. What used to be just fumes has created such a fire inside a young person that he can just keep going. That life might seem like it's against me right now. I might not understand everything, but an elder came along the way and he showed me what it means to keep putting one foot in front of the other. He showed me what it means, what the reward is, to stay steadfast in the kingdom of God. Just the same as what the elder did for the youth, for the young person, the same could happen. What you don't understand, what you praising and worshiping and being radical about this thing called the gospel does for the people that's been here. It stirs them. It keeps that fire. You're the fuel to their fire. Don't you dare dismiss what your life could do for the kingdom of God. Because you're more important than what you could ever believe. I understand that being a single person in the kingdom of God seems like you're inadequate sometimes. It seems like my ministry and what I do for the kingdom isn't as important as the people that I look across the room and see preaching big messages and praying people through and doing all this work for God. But I'm here to tell you what you do at your workplace, what you do at your school, what you do at Walmart, whatever, wherever you're at, what you do, you're creating little fires. You're sparking something in the community. And I'm here to tell somebody, I'm here to tell a church that is on the brink of revival, that has been talked to and told for 5 years, the promises, the prophecies, and all these things that I've heard for 5 years, I have to ask myself, why have we not seen revival? Why have we not seen what God's promised? I understand that this church is supposed to be a beacon of revival. I know God's not a liar. I know His word stands true. So why am I not seeing the things of God in my life? I have to take a reflecting moment and ask myself, am I smothering the fire I'm burdened this morning? Because I understand. I see a church that's ready to move, but you're scared because you don't know where the wind's going to blow you. There might be somebody in Walmart that needs prayed for. That might be where revival starts. It might be at your workplace or at your school. That might be where revival starts, but you got to stop controlling the fire. There's a world of darkness. I understand. I told you a moment ago, I'm burdened by this message because I understand both sides of it. I understand what it's like to be cold and in a dark place, not knowing what light is, a void of emptiness. And there's a world outside these four walls that's begging you to keep adding fuel to the fire. They're saying, I'm just waiting on you to stop controlling it and let God move you over here. I'm begging you to stop letting the fear of unknowing prevent you from reaching the lost. I've heard testimony after testimony these past couple weeks. And for myself, it happened at work. There was a man that approached me in the middle of work and came to me and he said, you're a minister of the gospel, right? I said, yes, sir. This is a man that I don't talk to. He knows of me, but he doesn't know me. He came to me out of a pool and he said, my parents died 5 years ago and I've been a backslider ever since. And I'm tired of being lost. I need you to pray for me. Because I don't want to die in sin. I don't want to die knowing that I'm going to the devil's hell. Because I know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I let the things of yesterday determine my today. But I don't want to do it no more, but I don't know how to get back there. Every time that I look, I try to take a step, the adversary keeps putting me 3 steps back. And I'm not saying it's because I'm somebody, but it's because these last couple of months I started putting fuel on a fire that God has put inside of me, and He's letting it blow across the workplace of Caterpillar, and He's letting Brother Matt witness to people in the gym and in the parking lot of hospitals, and He's letting Taylor preach Bible studies on the job site. It's because the wind's blowing across the Central Church. The winds of revival. And all we have to do is stop smothering the fire. I understand it's a hard word to take. But I'm talking to me because I'm tired of hearing about the promises. I'm tired of hearing the prophecies and not seeing them come true. But I'm not going to put the blame on God any longer. I'm going to put my suit coat on. I'm going to put the armor of God on. And I'm going to say, I take responsibility for yesterday. But I'm not going to let it determine tomorrow. I'm going to keep putting fuel on the fire. Because I want revival. Yeah. Brother David Bernard wrote this in his book, and it's a little lengthy, but the landing gear is down, if you will. He wrote this in his book called Understanding the Bible, and it says, God reveals truth to those who believe and obey. He grants enough truth to everyone so that he can lead them further into his will. But if they reject that truth, however, they cannot expect to understand more. And in fact, they will lose the truth that they have. And if they do not actively believe and love truth, they are subject to deception. As Jesus explains in Matthew, many people heard the words of God, heard the parables, but merely listening to them as interesting tales and did not look to apply them to their lives. I look back and I hear the words of our pastor. I hear the words of the ministry in this church. I hear Brother Matt preach when hungry people pray. I hear Brother Keaton preach about hidden sin and what happens when you get rid of it. I hear Brother Taylor preach last Wednesday about being a pretender or contender. God is, he's put fuel. He keeps putting fuel. But I ask myself, what do I do with it? Do I entertain it when I go out these doors and do I apply it in my life? Or do I turn God off and turn the world on? Just to get back in here on a Wednesday night and do the same thing. I wonder what would happen. I guarantee you what would happen. It would be elbow room only in this place if we would stop entertaining the world and start entertaining God. If I would stop smothering the Word of God in my life and start fueling the fire in my life, I guarantee you, you won't be able to dart those doors without running into somebody. It's a word of revival. I don't get upset when God gives me this because I know we're on the brink of success. I know we're on the brink of something special, and all I got to do is buy in. All I got to do is put self out of the way and say I'm going to receive and respond to God's word in my life. Because I want the fire to burn so bright that the person next to me get in my atmosphere. I can't remember off the top of my head if it was Peter or Paul. He said they laid them in the streets where the shadow would walk by them and heal them. The light is so bright that I just enter into Walmart and the darkness of anxiety and depression and the things of this world cease to exist because God is burning so deep in my spirit. It's going to happen. All we got to do is buy in, church. All we got to do is say, God, I'm ready. I got the armor on. Just tell me where to go, and I'm going to go. As the musicians come, I ask you, wherever you're at, to close your eyes. God is fixing to do something in this house. I want you right now to imagine your fire. I don't know what that fire looks like for you. I don't know if it's just smoke left over from a once burning fire. I don't know if it's just ashes left. I don't know if it's a little flame that once was burning so bright, but the things of the world got a hold of you and you started letting it smother the fire. Oh, I don't know if it's burning, but it's not burning like it once was. I don't know what that looks like for you. And if you've never experienced this fire that I'm talking about, I'm sure all you're picturing is darkness. I want you to take a moment and think about what would happen if you didn't let fear stop you from entering this altar. What God would instill in you if you just took a step of faith. I'm telling you right now, there's no reason that you leave this church unchanged. I believe that you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in other tongues. I believe that you can be baptized in Jesus' name. I believe God can change your life if you'll just take a step of faith. I remember what that step looked like for me. I remember the darkness. And I remember not knowing what tomorrow holds. If I stay here much longer, is there any hope? But I remember coming to an altar and saying, God, I'm tired of living in darkness. And Him filling me with the gift of His Spirit. And all the things that I dealt with were burnt away. The addiction was burnt away. The chains of depression were burnt away. The anxiety lived no longer because it burned away. And it can happen today. These altars are open. As a person that experienced the fire, I beg you not to sit there. I beg you to come and link up with somebody if you have to. Because there's fires burning deep in this church that you can connect yourself to. And if you would just take a step of faith, it'll happen. It'll happen. In the name of Jesus.